Hey bosses, before we kick off this special quarterly update episode, if you're new to the show, we actually only release a portion of this episode to the public. If you want to access the rest, you have to be a Patreon member. Now, in that portion of the episode, you'll get access to Sam and Johnny's portfolios. Plus, Johnny and myself hop on for an update. I got a big move coming that you'll find out about. And I just got monetized on YouTube. So if you're interested in how all that works, Johnny and myself both share our YouTube dashboards and you can get an insider look into that. In addition to all of that, there's hundreds of other posts on there with trade ideas, special access that you won't find anywhere else, and you can even interact with other bosses. So sign up right now. Plans are as low as $5 a month. It's investlikeaboss.com. Click become a Patreon. It just takes a couple minutes to sign up. Once again, it's investlikeaboss.com. Click become a Patreon. All right, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we will get into the episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
I'm Derek Spartz.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
What is up, bosses? And welcome to episode 295 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. This is the end of Q1 2024. It's been an exciting quarter. Sam, good to see you, buddy. Where are you?
Good to see you too, man. I never know if this is Q1 updates or Q2 updates, but...
yeah, I guess it's like beginning of Q2 and then summarizing Q1, I guess. Yeah.
Always the conundrum. I'm in Bangkok, man. I'll be here for another few days and then I'm heading off to Nepal to stay at a monastery for a retreat. I'll be offline the last week of April.
Nice. And it looks like, for those who are watching the Patreon video, it looks like Sam's already prepared with a little bit of a buzz cut, a little shaved action.
I've been in monk mode, Johnny FD mode for probably 4 months now. Pretty much bicked, right?
Yeah.
It's like a one, or what do you cut yours on? Is it a one or?
I used to do one and then I realized, I was like, you know what? I might just go zero because there's no point.
So what is zero? It's just no blade, right?
No guard at all. Just the metal. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm on a one.
I used to kind of dedicate my life of living places where I can get a haircut for less than $5. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, you know what? I need to start cutting my own hair. So now I just travel with a shaver thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a giveaway. It is nice getting your hair cut, even if you don't have much hair like me. I enjoy going and getting the little, you know, it's just depressing when they're like picking up like between their fingers, there's like seven hairs and they're like snip, snip. I'm like, all right, it doesn't even make me feel good. So,
well, Nepal, you'll enjoy it because they give you a little back massage or head massage when you get the haircut.
Oh, yeah. All right. So you have been to Nepal.
Yep. I attempted the Annapurna circuit and I got, what is it? When you go too high and you get sick, altitude sickness. Mm-hmm. I went with a guide. I hired a local Nepalese guide. He pulled me up too quickly. Like I wanted to like take my time and rest more. And he was getting a flat rate. So he wanted just to finish it, you know, as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And for him, like, you know, he's so used to climbing that, you know, he can go up hundreds of meters a day and it's fine, but my body needed more time to adjust. And then to make it worse, when I started getting sick, I wanted to spend another day resting. And he's like, no, we'll go up one more village and rest there. It's nicer. And then that got me really sick.
Oof.
Yeah. So
it's been nasty. It's pretty nasty stuff, man. I got it in Malaysia as well. I went diving. I was an idiot. Totally forgot about this. I went diving the day before.
Then you flew.
And then the next morning I got up. The next morning I got up and hiked. Summited a mountain.
Oh no. That's terrible.
I didn't even think about it until I got up there and started getting altitudes. Dude, it was the funniest. It was like the real life tortoise and the hare story, Johnny. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in line about to start going up this mountain with a group of strangers. And I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, everyone, there's a bunch of obese people and people look really out of shape. I'm like, no, I'm getting my own guide. I'm going to blaze this mountain. I'm not waiting for everybody, right? Uh-huh. So I hire my own guide and I take off like basically halfway jogging up the mountain. And I got halfway up, I got altitude sickness. And it was like, I'm only at maybe 13, 14,000 feet, which isn't super high in mountain climbing, but you would have thought I was at the top of Mount Everest. It was like when you see the videos of people on Mount Everest, they take one step, then they breathe like six times.
Yeah.
And they take another step.
Yeah.
That was me, man.
Yeah.
That was me. And all the people that I was like, I'm going to blaze up this mountain. Uh-huh. These people aren't going to be able to stay with me. One by one, they start passing me. And I was the last one up the mountain. It was a horrible feeling.
Yeah. But you know, that was probably a good ego check or a lesson learned. Yeah.
Very good.
Well, I'm excited to hear when you get back. What you learned from Nepal, how you liked it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those places that it's worth going to. I would tell everyone to do a little bit of research because unfortunately there's a big scam there where a lot of the guides, but also just the people that live in the mountains, they get huge insurance cuts, I guess, like cuts from the insurance for evacuations. So they kind of hope that people get sick so then they can emergency evacuate down and get half the insurance money. So they do it through helicopter, but also just through like a Jeep or even a motorbike. And I ended up doing the motorbike down because it was the cheapest. But the guy, you know, obviously charged an arm and a leg to take me down.
Man, that's too bad to hear. I'm not going to be doing anything active there. I'll literally fly there, spend one day in Kathmandu. And then I check into a really cool and historic monastery there called Kopan. And I have 8 days there that supposed to be basically in self-study and meditation. So I probably won't even be walking. I'll probably just be sitting down the entire day.
Well, if you do decide to do a small hike after, there's a small, easy 4 or 5 day hike called the Gorbhani Poon Hill Trek. Mm-hmm. And it's easy. It's beautiful. You don't need a guide. You just, kind of walk up. It's a loop. At the very top, there's a hotel that serves the best Black Forest cake I've ever had. It was like my reckoning after, you know, I spent a couple of weeks just kind of relaxing in a little lake village there.
Pokhara, right?
Yeah. Nice chill place.
I wanted to go there, but I'm like.
Yeah. You know, and then after kind of hanging out there for a week and covering, I was like, you know what? Let me just do like a very easy trek. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I just want to kind of enjoy it. And that ended up kind of saving my whole Nepal trip.
That sounds cool, man. I really want to do Pokhara. That's actually where I was planning to go originally. I was going to do like 2 or 3 weeks between the two things. But I got that whole month coming up where I'm going to live in the forest with basically as a forest monk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't know if I want to go spend 2 or 3 weeks now also alone, just like in Nepal. And then that's just a lot of time alone in contemplation and meditation. So I'm like, I'll just do a week now, get back, socialize a bit before I disappear for the month. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you won't be alone in Nepal. I mean, Pokhara has a lot of travelers and kind of young people, old people, just kind of everyone.
Yeah, there'll be people around, but I won't talk to any of them. I stick to myself these days. For anyone, let's just clue everyone in, because there might be some new listeners on. So typically on these episodes, quarterly updates, Johnny and I will catch up for 30 minutes or so, just shoot it on personal life, anything new going on in our lives. And then we'll cut over to the investments, portfolios, and business talk. And we used to keep these totally open to the public, but as our audience grew, we just realized it didn't make sense to show as many dashboards or specific numbers in our investment portfolios or exactly what we're doing to the public audience. So now we just have that for our Patreons. So if you guys want to listen in to that, we'll let you know how to later on in this episode.
And that'll be on video as well. So you're going to see Sam's shiny head as well as mine. By the way, I'm in my Athens Airbnb in Greece, but I'm cutting this trip short. And I'm going to the south of France. I'm going to Nice, to Côte d'Azur.
No way. Well, let's start there, man, because you've changed up your travel plans a few times now from when you first had it planned. I think you were going to Albania and Greece.
Yeah.
So south of France sounds nice. I'll actually be there in June with my parents. What made you change your plans?
I ended up canceling Albania because even though I've heard it's very, very nice, it's relatively cheap. It, you know, has a beautiful beach coast. After spending, 3 months on the beach in Thailand and then being here in Greece, I was like, you know what? I don't need another month of being on the beach, especially in a country I don't know a single person. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to save it for in the future, like, you know, when I have a girlfriend or a travel buddy, at least.
Yeah.
Then I'll go there because I do want to go check out Albania, but it just there's no point right now. And the other reason was my cousin, she is a ER doctor, and she just decided to take a little vacation with her dad, my uncle, to the south of France. And she messaged me saying, hey, I know you're in Greece. I don't know how far that is from from the south of France, but if you want to pop over, you know, I'll be here these dates, you know, it'll be good to see you. And I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's a $150 flight. If I can find like a reasonably priced hotel room, which was pretty hard to find, but luckily it's the end of April and not, you know, peak summer. So I was like, yeah, I'll pop by for 4 nights and, you know, see this part of France I've never seen.
Great, man. Do you know what city you're going to be around?
Yeah, so I'm flying into Nice. I'll be staying there, but we'll be exploring. So she's in just that whole south.
Avignon,
will be beautiful.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go to Monaco for a day.
Superman. Yeah. Well, those are some of the most expensive places in the world. Mm. Nice is not cheap. Monaco is just wild expensive. But dude, some of my best memories of Europe are just driving around the south of France in like April, May, June, early summer, late spring. Mm. And there's always just like this beautiful breeze and amazing, like, what's the word? Like greenery,
yeah.
Like landscape, the cypress trees lining the roads. And that's certainly wine country is wine, you know, been planted there for at least 1,000 years. Coast on one side, you have mountains on the other side. So it's a pretty magical place. And the people are really lovely there too. No offense to our friends in Paris, but people in South France are very welcoming.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. It's I'm trying to say yes to more opportunities, you know, especially when it comes to family. I just spent 2 weeks with my parents in Taiwan. My sister came out with my niece and nephew, and it was nice seeing everyone, you know, all my cousins, all my relatives, and it's been too long. So I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, that wasn't an inexpensive family gathering for you.
Yeah, I ended up flying out both my parents. That was kind of my, you know, instead of me going back to the US, I told them, I was like, I'll fly you out. But because I flew them out, they were like, well, I guess we'll take care of the hotel then. And that saved me a lot. So it ended up working out. Like it wasn't crazy expensive for anyone.
Any desires to move back to the motherland of Taiwan?
You know, it's not for me, but it's not a bad place to live. Like I would, I could enjoy it. It just, it's a little bit too conservative for me. Like there's a lot of rules, you know, like just random rules, you know, and it just, it's like Japan where everything just like you have to do it this way and there's no flexibility at all, which, you know, just isn't my personality. It's rigid.
Well, I can tell you, I've been in Asia for about four months in a row now. It's pretty long for me. I'm really missing the Med and Europe. How are you enjoying Greece so far?
Actually, I like it this time more than I did last time. I kind of have a love-hate relationship to Athens. And I think anyone who's actually spent a significant amount of time here would feel the same, especially the people who live here, both Greeks and, as well as expats. Because on one hand, you have all the beautiful ancient history, the Acropolis. You know, you have... Yeah. The Greek islands are incredible. Greek food's amazing. The culture, the history, everything's amazing, except the city itself, and then like the slums, the, you know, the homelessness, the drug addicts. You have all the downsides as well. I think there's always at least one strike. You know, like the other day, the metro wasn't working because everyone went on strike, and you basically just had to stay at home because nothing worked. So there's a lot of bad things about Greece as well, but overall, it's a good balance. And when I'm here, I feel like I'm traveling three different countries. You know, it feels like I'm traveling, you know, the beautiful Greece. It feels like I'm back in San Francisco, in the worst part of San Francisco, and then also feels like I'm in the Middle East.
Yeah.
When I'm here, like I'm eating Afghan food, Iraqi food, you know, Syrian food, and it's good. I like it. You know, it's like a whole different experience.
Yeah, man. I was just gonna say when you were talking about the slums, I was like, it's like Oakland, California in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every other street in Athens is a slum, and oh boy, I just saw some videos coming out of Oakland. I had no idea that existed in the, I mean, you know, we've all seen videos of some of the, you know, some of the homeless villages in the States. This is a different level. This is what Armageddon surely looks like. Doomsday. Yeah. I mean, entire communities that are just built with like they're not even temporary. They're like more permanent. They're mm-hmm. actually, it actually looks like some carpentry has gone into it. Like they've mm-hmm. taken park benches and like broken them apart and used like the, you know, the lumber and somehow wow. concocted actual houses and stuff.
Wow.
It's not just cardboard boxes. And the houses go on like zero lot line for like miles.
Yeah.
And, it, and they're not, you know, obviously, so they're not well kept. It's just slews of trash lining the sides of these. Like, speechless.
Yeah, it's wild.
Unfortunate. A lot of people suffering on both sides. People that live there and trying to live a normal, productive life. The people that are living in those communities. And it's bad all around.
Yeah. I had a friend who had a nice place in Austin, and there was the reason why he moved there was there was a park right across the street, and his wife was pregnant at the time. So when they had their baby, they would, you know, walk across the street to the park, you know, have the kid play. And then it just got taken over by a homeless encampment. And it was like, you know, people doing drugs, there's used needles everywhere. And like, it just was very uncomfortable to bring your little kid there. So they end up leaving.
What's positive going on in Johnny FD's life now? Any changes? Any updates? Just status quo in a new location?
I think things are going well. I think I have kind of hopes and dreams again. You know, for a while, I was just kind of down in the dumps. You know, I was very stressed about the situation that's happening in Ukraine. And finally, I kind of let it go and say, you know what? It's out of my hands. It's unfair what's happening. I'm going to continue to do my part to shed light on what's happening. Luckily, I think just probably, you know, as this episode releases, after 7 months of zero military to Ukraine, finally they're going to pass it and they're going to get what they need. And I feel like if it wasn't for people like me keeping Ukraine on Americans' minds, you know, because it's largely dropped out of the media. I remember even watching like is it Jimmy Kimmel or no, who's that guy? Those shows. There used to always be little mentions of Ukraine, and they're just like for the last 6 months is nothing. So it's been cricket. So ideally, Ukraine's going to get what they need. And I'm going to be able to kind of say, you know what? I've done what I could the last 2 years. Let me just kind of, you know, let's sit the rest of this out. Hopefully it ends. So I've decided I'm going to go back to Ukraine, sell my car. And that way I'll have the freedom to be able to not have to like have this mental, you know, like a mental barrier of saying, okay, I have to go back every 4 months. Because my car sits for a year, it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So guess where actually I don't know if I'm going to go there yet, but because it's so far away and it's the opposite side of the world. But I've thought of the place I want to go and spend at least 3 months, maybe longer.
Argentina.
It's on that coast, or on that
coast.
Well, I mean, on that side of the world.
Okay. Well, then it's got to be probably Uruguay.
Nope. I'll give you a couple of hints. I was looking at places where I can learn to surf, where I can practice surfing. So it's have to be something on the beach.
Yeah.
Somewhere relatively cheap.
West Coast, South America.
And then, but I was like, so at first it was going to be this place in Ecuador that kind of hit all
that. That was actually going to be my next guess. Yeah. Ecuador. Or Peru, maybe.
So that was going to be like the spot. But I realized I don't actually like Ecuadorian food because it's mostly like seafood. It's really far away, you know, from everything. It's like, and I was like, you know what? I wonder if there's something like that, but in Mexico. And I found it. Have you ever heard of Puerto Escondido in Oaxaca?
I'm sure I've heard of it. I mean, all the like Mexican names sound familiar, but reality, I probably... Probably never narrowed in on it.
So supposedly this is, you know, one of the best kept secrets in Mexico. It's like the Tulum for backpackers. So, you know, lots of international people, you know, great food, but still cheap because it's far away. And it's supposed to have great surfing, but also just like a good life. Unfortunately, it's not it's not very developed. Like there's not a single McDonald's or anything. But, you know, maybe that's good. Maybe I don't need a mall. Maybe I don't need super fast Wi-Fi. So we'll see. But I decided I'm going to spend the summer in Europe first because I'm already here. And then next winter, maybe instead of going to Asia, I'm going
to
go there.
Back to the beach for Johnny FD.
Yeah. I mean, winter's on the beach, you know, Mexican food. It's kind of everything I want. So we'll see what happens. You know, we have a couple quarters to go there. But yeah, for you, I know the last time we spoke, you said you wanted to slow down, not travel so much, not travel as quickly. Is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it is. It is happening for sure. I'm staying in places longer, and then when I'm in places, I'm doing a lot less. I mean, this big shift for me the last 6 months has just been into away from kind of work and, let's say, external productivity into more internal practicing virtue, contentment, trying to, when I hurt my knee, it actually forced the case, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was planning to be here and do Muay Thai and a bunch of activities. And when I hurt my knee, I'm like, I can't do any of that. So I basically had to jump headlong into meditation and kind of study. But I realized for me, maybe it's an age thing also, it's just way better. It fits my personality a lot better now. So I am looking forward to going to Europe. I mean, I have a home there though. So it feels like I'm going home, right?
Yeah.
But actually, an update on health and wellness. We've talked a lot about stem cells recently. Mm-hmm. So a big update there. Two updates actually, side by side. My dad will be going down to Panama in a couple of months, and he's going to get stem cells done at the Cell Institute in Panama.
Okay.
So shout out to Derek, because Derek and I kind of scrambled to try to find some options, because I think it'll really help him out. But mm-hmm. as we've talked about, it's like it's not real easy to figure this stuff out and find like a really high quality clinic. Mm-hmm. And I will actually be doing it next week. I was going to do it in June, but I decided to move it up and just get it done now, so that by the time I go to the forest in July, I should have a majority of it kind of like settled in, and you know, hopefully feel 10 years younger. My knee is, I would say, 80% better, but it's definitely not 100%. There's still some problems on the MCL on the inside. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna see hopefully maybe another dose. Much bigger dose will help, but I think the I'm expecting to see a lot of just general benefits. So it'll be kind of cool that my dad and I will both do it about the same time, mm-hmm. so we can see like what it does to him, and then also see what it does to me on a lot of different fronts.
Yeah, and that'll be good that you guys can talk about it with each other and just kind of bounce it off each other.
Yeah, definitely. Back to your question, moving around a lot. I'll go just to Europe for basically a month, and then I come back here, and I'll be pretty much. Straight when I get back, I go to the forest for a month. And I've had like these amazing uncanny means like unexplainable, right? Like uncanny experience would be like something that had to have been divine or mm-hmm. of some type of alternate, you know, reality. I've had a couple of these things happen to me over the last few months that it just totally inexplainable.
Okay.
But it's made me such a more firm believer in this path, like knowing that there is an actual path and that I think I'm on it. So it's kind of all systems go at this point. I mean, it's really just a big experiment, Johnny. It's like a huge lifestyle change experiment. I don't think there's any going back now. I mean, some of the mental states that I've been able to produce by just like kind of, you know, really like just cleaning up my life and like purifying a lot of things from my mind, like thoughts in my mind to my speech, of course, actions, but doing like these things are not necessarily easy. It's like a pretty heavy routine of like ice baths, multiple hours of meditation, stretching, yoga, like getting up early, eating half as much. I'm only eating like a meal and a half a day. I'm pretty skinny now, almost not eating meat. I'm only eating meat maybe twice a week instead of every day multiple times. But it's all starting to like accumulate in a very, very positive and real state of mind. It's like some mornings I wake up and I feel like this must be the feeling of taking a very heavy dose of antidepressants, where you're just like, you're elated and things don't bother you. They just kind of bounce off you, and you're just kind of lightly smiling all day. And it lasts until I start getting really caught up in something like a business problem or planning, like, you know, planning trips and stuff like that. But it's really starting to stick. And I can imagine like what some of the sages have achieved in their life of like this level times whatever, 10, 100, infinity, but it's permanent. So I don't, you know, in terms of what I'm putting time into and what I'm thinking about each day, it's just like getting further and further down this path. See where it goes. It's just a big experiment, really.
I'm curious. Actually, that just made me think about at what moment in my life did I feel the best in my body and my mind? Mm-hmm. And it was actually in 2015. So it was 2014, 2015. I was in the best shape of my life. I was actually pretty thin because I was doing CrossFit. Probably like 5-6 days a week, I stopped doing Muay Thai, so I had stopped with kind of the damage to my body, but then I would do the CrossFit, which is a different type of damage, but it was, you know, kind of fighting against yourself, right? Fighting against the time, fighting against the your PR record, your personal best. I remember I'd wake up every day, you know, early. I was fasting. I was doing the Bulletproof diet. I didn't have alcohol, wheat. I didn't have bread. I didn't have sugar for over a year.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was thin, but I was very, I felt very like fast and, you know, strong and I was scrappy. But mostly I just felt like this really, really clear mental energy. I felt really good. And I wish I can go back to that state, but I also realized how much sacrifice and how much hard work it was to get there. And I knew that once I got out of it, it would be so hard to go back and maintain it. I remember, I mean, literally, I didn't have a piece of bread for over a year. You know, I remember dating the girl.
Johnny. It's incredible.
And I love bread. You know, I love bread. I love pizza. I love, you know, burgers. You know, and I remember dating a girl, Larissa, the when we met, the South African girl. She was pissed because she said that the entire time we were dating for almost 2 years, I didn't even like drink a glass of wine with her. You know?
Yeah.
Because I was so focused on like my diet and, you know, all these things. And it wasn't until we, you know, basically the end of our relationship when I started drinking again and I started doing, you know, eating like, I don't want to say normal food, but just bread and stuff like that again, that, you know, she was like, you know, you're like a completely different person. And if I compare the way I feel today, which is probably the worst I've felt in a long time, being overweight, being kind of mentally cloudy and just not, you know, stressed, and kind of unhappy, versus at that point when I was super elated, you know, I was excited and clear every day, I would much rather feel like that. But at the same time, I know there has to be a balance. There has to be a middle point where I can still eat my baguette when I'm in France. I can still eat the croissant.
Yeah.
Still have the glass of wine. But at the same time, I don't want to lose my breath, you know, going up a hill or tying my shoes, you know, that's like, that's the worst feeling in the world. I never want to get to that point where, you know, I'm not able to just enjoy life, you know, and I think a lot of people, as we get older, you know, after our 40s for men, it's a very quick slide downhill unless we do something about it.
Man, I agree totally. It is a huge sacrifice. I think this is why antidepressants are so common now. Like I know a lot of people in their 40s that are on antidepressants. I don't even consider it antidepressant. It's just like an adult normalcy pill, like just regulation, right? And if you can get the same effects off a pill, you're like, if you're working, the only reason I can do this right now is because I have a lot of time. But if you look at how much I'm actually having put into it, like get up at 5:45 today, do 2 hours of loving kindness meditation. No breakfast, no dinner last night. Go swimming, take an ice bath. Like no drinking anymore. I mean, I was drinking 5 or 6, 7 nights a week. Just wine. I justified it. I'm like, well, 2 glasses of wine, that's never killed anybody. But doing it every single night, it makes you cloudy. Mm-hmm. You know, adds a lot of sugar to your blood system and stuff. Also, like you said, like not eating certain things, not drinking, it makes it hard socially. A lot of my friends that I still love them, some of my good friends, but I look at them and they're like, and you haven't changed since you're 25. Like still go out, we go to lunch, we talk about the exact same stuff, business, women, problems, politics, sports. I have zero interest to talk about any of that. You know, I prefer to be alone or listen to a nice audiobook or meditating. So I pretty much just decline going out and having those lunches or those conversations. But what happens is, you know, to at least my experience, my case is, dude, I look back 6 months and it's like, I've pretty much been by myself the entire time because it's hard to find people that are doing the same activities and living the same lifestyle as you. Because if you're working, you really can't do it that easily, right? It's hard to hang up all the stress from work and the activity of work and then go home and meditate for 2 hours and, you know, take an ice bath and stuff. Yeah, it's just, it's not really possible.
Hey bosses, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. The show will be right back.
But you mentioned a very good point, Johnny. I mean, I just turned 39 and I see it as we don't have kids of our own. We don't have families. I'm generally think I'm heading down that path, and I think it will become more difficult as you get older. Like I can imagine waking up 50 and being like, man, like, what am I, you know? So why I am investing all the time into this, I think it's like, it's a great experiment. I've never done anything like it before. And I honestly can say I feel better than I've ever felt. Now it's easy to take it for granted. You wake up, it's like, this is the new normal. I just know because as of like the years past, I felt so bad that I'm like, I'm going to never go back there. Mm-hmm. I never can go back there, you know? So I will put in the time. And I don't want to just feel good for like a couple of years or take a pill. It's like, what happens when I'm 50 and like, you know, if I don't have a family and I don't have work and stuff, and it's like, what am I doing there? I hope that I'll be creating meaning and have meaningful things in my life then, but I need this type of self-discipline and self-practice to know it's like, it's basically refuge. It's like, if I do this, I can feel great. You know, I'm not relying on a pill or external factors. It's like, I have everything I need in me and I can go there anytime I want. I don't need to get caught up in the world. I can go there anytime I want. And hey, maybe you just feel better, but maybe there really is something called enlightenment. Maybe there really are these eternal realms of heaven and hell. And like, by just doing these, you have nothing to lose. Like, you're probably going to feel better in this life anyways. But if what the sages say is true, and there is such thing as eternal realms and reincarnation and karma, and these things, like, it matters. Mm. And so going down this path definitely benefits you in this life, but maybe it benefits you in beyond this life.
I can definitely say none of us knows what's going to happen when we die.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you right now that there is a sacrifice, what, you know, on both sides. If we kind of just go through life, you know, just being glutton, it's enjoying life, mm-hmm. you know, the women, the wine, the, you know, the food, whatever it is, there's definitely a downside to that. But at the same time, on the opposite side, which feels, and sadly, I feel like I'm going towards that glutton side, then you're going through the exact opposite side. You know, you're cutting out the food, you're cutting out the wine, you're cutting out the women. I also think there's a sacrifice on that side too, where if you kind of flow through life, you can be, you know, happy and just, you know, mindful all day and, you know, not feel any of the pain and the suffering or the stress. But at the same time, mm-hmm. you kind of just floating through life, you know, and just days are passing as well, you know? So it's, I really do believe that there's some kind of balance. I don't know where that balance is. Maybe it's more towards your side. Maybe it's more toward my side. Maybe it's right in the middle. I have no idea where it is. I think it would benefit. I think if me and you kind of merged into one being and just kind of come, you know, took all the good sides of your life, took all the good sides of my life, got rid of the bad sides, I think that would actually be pretty happy, pretty happiness.
I think we're like yin and yang. We're like, we tend to like go like this. We kind of like go to one ends and then cross. And same like in investing too. I mean, my gosh, man.
Yeah.
This is all just a big experiment, really, at the end of the day. I mean, life is just a big experiment at the end of the day.
You know, like, we'll get into this in a second when we get into the private finance part of it. But I've always been the very conservative one. Like almost too conservative. Mm-hmm. And then Sam takes these huge, crazy risks. A lot of times we don't even know about it. You're like, oh yeah, I never mentioned this, but I put $1 million on this one tech startup or this one stock. And turns out like it 10x'd or something. And you were like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of like stupid risk was that? But even if 9 of them fail, if one of them, you know, goes up by 2,000%, it's more than made up for everything.
Yeah. I'm feeling that right now. I can't wait to talk about this in the investment side.
And actually, a surprise guest for this Patreon exclusive. We finally got Derek to talk about his life and his finances, his expenses, his income, his plans for the future. So if you are watching on Patreon, stay tuned for Derek. He's going to be giving his updates. I think Sam, like, I don't think he's even really opened up 100% to you.
No, that's why I wanted to bring him on this three-way, because I'm like, dude, we need to get you on these quarterly updates. I want to know what's up, you know? I want to know what's really going on in Derek's head. He's kind of like, I think he's the most closed. You're in the middle and probably the most open in terms of just being like, I'm happy, I'm depressed, I'm on antidepressants, I'm elated. And say, you know, you're probably the most open with your investments, but Derek, I never really know how to read him. I'm like, is he good? Not. Sometimes I see some of his Instagram posts. I'm like, is he about to be homeless on the beach? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, guys, stay tuned. Patreons, thank you so much for supporting. If you are just listening to the public free episode and you want to check out the rest and you want to support the show, please go to investlikeaboss.com, click on Patreon to support the show. For as little as $5 a month, you can get a live recording, I guess, of this show, as well as Derek's, is up already in the Patreon by the time you hear this. So
should we tease it a little bit, John?
Yeah, I am curious. What are you going to be opening it up?
Yeah, well, interesting. We've been trying to get a guest on to talk about the U.S. Deficit, the U.S. debt. And we haven't, there's a lady that wrote a book called The Budget Deficit that I'm like, got to get her on, you know? And I don't think we've had any luck getting her on. But anyways, I read the whole book. I kind of studied the U.S. deficit and debt for the last couple of weeks. And I have a very good idea about it now. So I want to share that because it also directly relates to what I'm doing with my investments. But I think it's just such a fascinating topic. No one really... There's just massive $35 trillion number floating around on like billboards in NYC, but no one really knows how or when it's going to play out. But so we're going to talk about that, Johnny. Around the world right now, there is incredible opportunity to hire great, great talent. If you're a business and you have remote workers in countries, we'll name them in the second half of this episode. But right now in two of my businesses, we're hiring really good people for less than $1,500 a month. They're great English speaking natives. But because some of the world economies are a mess and currencies have gotten hammered against the US dollar, really good opportunities to hire remote talent. And then of course, we'll talk about our investments. And this quarter or this year so far, I've had the most losses, or let's say I've realized the most losses to date since we started this podcast. So I'm sure we'll enjoy talking about those.
Well, one of us will enjoy hearing about it. I don't know if you enjoy talking about it, but Patreons, stay tuned. Everyone else, hope to see you there.
Thanks for listening to the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.